Lynn joins, our secretary asked me if I would read the bishop's sermon. Well, I was honored for that and said, when will we be getting it? I said, oh, it'll come. Okay. A couple weeks ago, have we had? No. Okay. This week, still didn't have it. So Bill gave us another sermon to read, which I read through and prepared, and I thought, this is pretty good too. And then about 3:30 yesterday afternoon, the diocese decided to send us the actual bishop's sermon. So I printed it out, and I figured after reading two sermons, preparing for this, I could do this. I mean, I played Jesus in Godspell. So I called Bill, and you know how the reception is around here, and I said, Bill, I've read both sermons. You wouldn't mind if I just wing it? And of course he said, please don't. And we lost the call. So, both sermons. But then he did text me later and said, why don't you do the one they sent to you? So this is the one from the bishop. Receive, O Lord, all my liberty. Take my memory, my understanding, and my entire will. Whatever I have or hold, you have given me. I give it all back to you. And surrender it wholly to be governed by your will. Give me only your love and your grace, and I am rich enough and ask for nothing more. This is a poem from St. Ignatius of Loyola. Some of you may recognize this prayer. It was the surrender prayer of St. Ignatius. These words were printed on the first page of the consecration booklet. As I say this prayer every day, I am reminded that as a follower of Christ, I am called to give myself wholeheartedly to God, and that with God's love and grace, anything is possible. My journey to ordained ministry has always been rooted in an understanding that no matter where the journey leads, I am first and foremost grounded in the understanding that I am made by God, live in a world made by God, and for God's purpose. Every day I strive to answer two simple questions. What does God ask of me? And what does God ask of us? Traveling about the diocese, I've seen you take this call to heart. I have seen words become flesh, tending to the needs of the homeless and others who are vulnerable, bringing the good news into our prisons, community gardens, dismantling racism workshops, food pantries, teaching English as a second language, churches providing grants to support wide-ranging ministries in their local communities, support and mission to Durgapur, Haiti, and Cuba. All these are signs of God's presence and our discipleship in this part of the vineyard. This is how we are widening the walls, waking up the world, and walking in the way. Clearly, we are not sitting around idly waiting for Jesus' return. These ministries and missions initiatives demonstrate how Christians are to live in the present, an illustration of what the Apostle Paul encourages to the church in Thessalonica to embrace. Paul was urging the Thessalonians that the faith community is called to take its baptismal responsibilities seriously and work so all people can fare well, because Christians don't come together to simply because it feels good, but out of thanksgiving and sharing in the work of the discipleship. There is a holy urgency to the mission of Christ, and there isn't room for idleness. And still, part of the work of the Christian community is to pay attention, to hit the pause button on our work once in a while and shift our line of sight to the horizon, so we can see that which God has promised to all people throughout time. From Isaiah to Jesus, and now to us. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. but be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. Not surprising, most anything new usually stirs up a fair amount of anxiety because it's different. It is out of our comfort zone and untried. It upsets our, this is the way we have always done it, sensibility. It is something we have never done before. Can you imagine what it was like when Mary, upon hearing the angel's announcement of how her life was about to change? Or the new normal for the prodigal son the morning after he was welcomed back home? Or the leper after he was cured? Each knowing their life was just turned upside down, like the stones of the temple, and now looking at a different and strange future. Why would we imagine that our lives could ever be safe from changes and chances of the world? And this is precisely when faith in God of mercy and grace empowers us to engage the challenge of our future. Canticle 9, the first song of Isaiah, reminds us each of us to trust in God and not be afraid, for the Lord is our stronghold and our sure defense. God will be our Savior. The old prophet urges us to live out this trust and assurance of God's presence. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are strengthened enough to be glad and rejoice in God's new creation and boldly make God's deeds known among the peoples. We can step out in faith into the world with wild ideas for mission in a world that is filled with divisions, pain, war, hatred. Because God is already out there walking and working ahead of us, doing that new thing. My friends, if a new world is to be created, if new people or nations are to be created, if a new direction in a diocese is to occur, at least two things are probable. The transition to what is emerging will not be smooth sailing all the way. And working together, we will have to be actively engaged, with no small measure of faith and endurance, to participate in what God is making happen. We are living at a time when people are longing to hear messages of hope and love. As followers of Christ, our faith is not so much about what we believe, but rather what we do with what we believe. Fresh off this recent election, a terribly divisive and bitter election, we must begin to bridge the very real gaps between people with the unconditional love and grace of God. We must confront the violence and apathy, reminding those around us that there is a new way of being, a new way of living, a new way of serving and loving one another. It seems to me that we all need to practice seeing the world with the eyes of Jesus and modeling this for the world. We all need to demonstrate seeing God's new thing even in the midst of despair. We all need to learn new ways to connect, speak, listen, and yes, evangelize. Share the good news. We all need to be prepared to hear the deeper truth within others. And if anyone is filled with hate, malice, or ignorance, we all need to discern new ways to respond. My brothers and sisters in Christ, the time is now for us to remind people that indeed God is doing a new thing. The time is now to join in God's mission and be repairers of the breach. We do this by listening and looking. We listen to the people in our communities and then look around us to see the many needs that exist. Then we respond. We bring the good news to the oppressed, the forgotten, the lonely, the hungry, the shamed, the rejected, the outcast, the lost, the homeless. We engage our local communities in new ways by taking the church out into the world and not waiting for the world to come to us. This past week, I met with the Asheville Police Chief. We talked about how we might work together to support one another in our shared mission of service. We also talked about how we might create new opportunities for communication and collaboration to address together the needs of the community, especially homelessness and racism. I will also want to meet with the civic and business leaders in our communities to tackle issues such as affordable housing and poverty, both of which are crippling Western North Carolina. I want us all to be more engaged as a church in the world, not just in our parishes and worshiping communities, but through them in our cities and towns, our counties. I want us all engaging programs and institutions that provide needed services and creating them where they don't exist. I want us to understand the need of our local context and develop church-based models of service to address the complex issues that face us. I encourage everyone to talk with leaders in our communities and see where the church can play an active role in the care of our neighbors. We are a faith that moves, that acts, that engages the world and is called to find new ways to grow in faith and spread the good news that the world so desperately needs. I want us to engage our youth more fully, not simply providing programming for them, but truly calling them into relationship. I want us to actually ask them what they think and need and listen to them. Let them help us understand where the church should go, how best to reach out to them. Our youth and young adults are motivated by serving, by doing, and we should not be afraid to let them lead us. I will appoint youth, where possible, to be part of the leadership of the diocese and encourage a council of advice directly to me as we look to reach out to our young people in a more profound way. I want us to continue to build relationships and community with our Latino, African American, and Native American brothers and sisters as we seek to work towards better understanding and reconciliation and to find new ways to share in ministry. In addition, we need to work diligently to raise up lay and ordained leadership that is more representative of the communities we serve. I want us to develop models of shared ministry, recognizing that traditional models of parish ministry and leadership are not always the best for every congregation. Training lay leaders, creating a bivocational priesthood, and enhancing the formation of deacons to more fully equip them to engage the needs around us. I want us to continue our ministries around the world and discern new shared ministry opportunities that allow people of all ages to fully participate in sharing the good news in the wider community of God. To better position ourselves to be this church on the move, I want to ensure that the budget and administration of the diocese is positioned to respond to a vision and not vice versa. I want us to look for a new way in which to develop our shared financial resources that is not overly burdensome on our congregations. As I have traveled the diocese, I continue to see the ways in which we are engaging and meeting the needs of our communities. There are already dynamic ministries being carried out every day in the diocese that provide templates for us to use and replicate. I encourage all of us to learn from one another these models of service and mission. In the coming months, I will continue to visit our deaneries, congregations, meeting with clergy and lay leaders. I will ask how we can share our ministries, and I will also challenge us to dream new ways to be the church in our diocese. Faith is not merely what we believe, but what we do with what we believe. There is no church-wide initiative, no diocesan program, no committee, no task force that does this. We do it by going into the world, listening to one another, and building relationships. Western North Carolina needs our love, justice, and mercy. It needs our courage and community. It needs us to be crucified and in the risen body of Christ. My challenge to us all is to love this world with all that we have. Connect with each other. Connect with strangers. Notice the beauty. Celebrate the things God is doing in this world. The miracles that pass before us each and every day. Work for justice and mercy. So, let's renew. Let's reclaim. Let's re-envision. And let's